Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Massachusetts High Court has made it basically constitutional, I guess, or said it is constitutional for gay marriage to exist in that state. Doug Danger is on the line with us to talk about this. We don't really talk about gay issues with you, Doug, per se, but you are out as a gay man. And I know you're working on a piece for the Orange County Courier. Doug appears in the Courier once a week as their entertainment writer. Thanks for joining us.
No, it's my pleasure.
Tell us about the piece and tell us what you found out so far.
First thing that I understand about me, Phil, is I am a gay man. I am a gay journalist. I usually just write about the entertainment business. I stay clear of gay issues because I don't want people to only see me as dealing with gay issues. But I have taken, I've decided to do a series on gay marriage, especially in light of the high court ruling in Massachusetts. I am a gay man and a gay journalist, and I think as a gay journalist, I bring a perspective that straight journalists don't have.
Well, yours is a kind of a man on the street thing, right?
Well, that's true. As a gay man and a gay journalist, I think I can get more of a truthful response out of people, or at least find out where they really stand on gay marriage, because I know who to ask in these man on the street surveys, and I don't, I'm not really, you know, trying to be diplomatic, as a straight journalist might. I just go right ahead and I ask the hard questions because, as a gay man and a gay journalist, I'm able, I think, to be a little bit more honest.
All right, give me an example of the people you've been approaching and the kind of responses you've gotten on the question of gay marriage. Where does the average American stand?
Well, for instance, I was in Avon's supermarket, I think it was over here in, near the beach on Tuesday, and I saw this checker. Now, grocery store checkout people, for the most part, a lot of the demographic information we have on them, they're lower income, they're not particularly highly educated people, usually a single mother who does not have the ability to grasp perhaps more sophisticated issues. This one checker...
Now, this was a female grocery store checker?
That's right. Her name was Sandy, and I asked her, I told her that I was a journalist. I didn't mention my orientation. I said, I'm a journalist. And I asked her, I said, I'm writing a piece for the Orange County Courier newspaper, what do you think about gay marriage? And she said that she was against it on religious grounds. And so then I said, and once again, which is also a very standard argument for undereducated people to use, they're against it on religious grounds. So I said, well, Sandy, I also happen to be gay. Now what do you think about it? And sure enough, she looked stunned, and she started to stammer. And everything I knew would happen did happen. She apologized and said maybe it isn't so bad after all, and we shook hands. And she recognized how she really felt about it. See, I'm gay, and as a gay man and a gay journalist, I have the ability to get the real answers people don't want to give. People lie so much when it comes to these surveys that it's really just disgusting. But we're able, I think, in this piece that I'm writing for the Courier this Sunday, I think people are going to see the real responses.
So she said, you said, I'm a journalist, I'm doing a survey, what do you think about gay marriage? And she said, well, I'm against it on religious grounds, which you say supermarket checkout people are lower income, so they're generally against gay marriage on religious grounds. Is that what you said?
Yes, that's correct.
And then she said, and then you said, well, I also happen to be gay now, how do you feel about it? Is that what you said?
Well, the wording is very important. I said, well, I also happen to be a gay man and a gay journalist, now tell me what you think of gay marriage. And she, you know... What happens, Phil, is that people recognize how they really feel about it. When you confront them with truth, they have no choice but to redirect the truth at you.
All right, what other kinds of professions? Our number, by the way, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger talking to people about gay marriage. What other kinds of professions did you engage in the survey?
Well, I took my car, I'd taken a car in for 30,000-mile service, and I thought that would be a good place. Auto mechanics, auto repairmen, also the cashiers that work in these places, they're all, for the most part, traditionally undereducated people as well. One of the mechanics there is a guy by the name of Ray that everybody said I should talk to. So I said, I'm a journalist, and what do you think about gay marriage? And he said what I thought he would. He said, well, he didn't like, and he used the F word.
Okay,
fags. He said he didn't like fags. And then I said, well, I'm also gay. Now tell me what you think about it. And sure enough, he rethought his position. He apologized and we shook hands. When you confront people with the truth, I'm gay, they can't help but be truthful.
This guy, the auto mechanic, and the woman, the cashier, who you say auto mechanics and cashiers are traditionally undereducated, does that mean they're misinformed? Or?
Well, they have a hard time grasping. I don't want to say anything because I know there's an awful lot of very, very, very devoted public, people who are devoted to their country and learn the news who work as cashiers, but they have a harder time grasping it. And also because they work with the public, they have a hard time at being honest. Because the first thing you're taught as a cashier, as a mechanic, or whatever, is to be diplomatic, not to be honest. What do you think about gay marriage? Well, I'm against it. Oh, yeah? Then I hit them with the truth. I'm gay. See, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And when you hit people with that, they stammer, they step back. You can see the fear a little bit in their eyes because, you know, I can't lie to this guy. He's gay. So, and what all of this is telling me, Phil, is that deep down, people are in favor.
Okay, I was going to say, what then is the bottom line?
I think people are, majority of Americans are in favor of gay marriage. They just need to be reminded that gay people are just about everywhere and are a powerful force. And when you come face to face with a gay man and a gay journalist such as myself, and I'm gay, you will change your mind, or not so much change your mind, as you will become more friendly, shall we say, with the truth.
Doug Danger with us from the Orange County Courier, 1-800-449-8686. All right, so we're talking about hairdressers, we're talking about auto mechanics, who else?
I approached a group of stockbrokers at the Pacific Stock Exchange, this is in downtown Los Angeles, while they ate lunch, and I said, excuse me, how do you feel about gay marriage? And the whole group of them kind of started to laugh the way a lot of straight men will. And
so they laughed.
They laughed. Is how they feel about it. And then I told them I was gay. And then I said, okay, now, I'm gay. You want to start laughing now? How do you feel about it? And again, each one of them said they thought all gays should be able to be married. And they asked if they could buy me lunch and wanted to know about my struggles as a gay man. So again, that honesty got them to rethink, or at least not rethink their feelings, but rethink their approach to the truth.
This was, how many guys were there?
I'm sorry, Phil?
When you talk to these stockbrokers,
yeah,
at the stock exchange,
right?
How many were there?
Oh, there's about four or five of them. And they were sitting at a kiosk, which is outside there in the City Plaza area, near where the stock exchange is.
And you said to them, how do you feel about gay marriage? And they laughed, and then you said, I'm a gay... And what did you say?
I said, I'm a gay man. You want to start laughing at that now? Now, how do you feel about it?
And all right, here's what I want to ask you. Do you feel, are you frightening them into a more docile, or, you see what I'm saying, are you intimidating them?
In what way?
Like I said, in frightening them into a more docile or positive response?
No, I might be reminding them that to be against gay marriage is to risk some physical confrontation. I think that goes without, saying. Because
why? Why does that go, if I'm against gay marriage, why am I risking physical confrontation?
Well, I think at some point, you risk gay riot, you risk, if they keep going against gay marriage and other gay issues, we're not going away, and at some point you're going to start to seriously piss off, excuse my language, but you're going to start to seriously piss off some people. So I simply shock them into being honest. They realize they're confronted by a gay man, so they can't be dishonest. So I think it's not intimidation, it's honesty. And you see a lot of these people in blue-collar and white-collar jobs. They don't have the courage of thought to have an answer when faced with a question like this. They need to be confronted, jarred. So I can go up to a guy who's anybody, like a gardener, a construction worker, I say, what do you think about gay marriage? Oh, I'm against it. Yeah, I'm gay. Now how do you feel about gay marriage, huh? Huh? And they'll, God, you know what? I'm sorry, I am in favor of it. Because, again, the honesty jars them.
Okay, 1-800-449, hold on, Doug, 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger of the Orange County Courier on gay marriage is writing a series for the Orange County Courier. It's going to start appearing this Sunday. He is going up to people and asking, what do you think of gay marriage? He gets an answer. Then he comes out and identifies himself as a gay man and then says, now how do you feel about it? And he said, for the most part, they say, actually, I'm in favor of it, and they thank him and shake his hand. 1-800-441 or excuse me, 1-800-449-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Relocating the edge and jumping over. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Doug Danger is with me from the Orange County Courier. His series on gay marriage starts Sunday, and he has been doing a survey among people saying, what do you think of gay marriage? And then you tell them that you're gay, and then they, most of them are against it, right?
Well, the first time they'll say, oh, I'm against gay marriage on religious grounds, because a lot of them are, you know, they're mechanics, they're domestics, they're women who work in checkout lines, this kind of deal. They don't have a lot of education. I'm against gay marriage on religious grounds. And then there's a gland that is relative to the hypothalamus gland, Phil, that is in the middle of the chest, literally. Have you ever seen people point their fingers, stick other people in the chest with their finger?
Yeah.
The reason why they do that is because it activates the hormone from the adrenal gland that allows us to be more in touch with our feelings. And so they'll say, I'm against it, and that's when I'll stick my finger in their chest and go, well, guess what, I'm gay. Now tell me how you feel about it, huh? Now how do you feel about it? And that focuses them.
Yeah, but you mentioned holding a knife to someone's throat?
No, no.
Well, I mean, not her throat.
No, I have a pocket knife that I jabbed in their chest. Again, that's to help activate that gland.
A pocket knife, Doug, is... I know what a pocket knife looks like. Do you carry a switchblade knife?
I don't know where this is coming from.
Do you carry a switchblade knife?
I have a switchblade knife, yeah. It is not illegal.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jade. Hello, Jade. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. This guy is saying that coming up and putting his finger in people's chest, threatening people, anybody would tell you that they agree with you if you make them feel that way.
Well,
I mean, it's not like...
See, that was my point. Yeah, that was my point.
He's not moving gay rights forward by threatening people. Do you believe, you know, it's right to be gay? I mean, that's like the people that are in KKK threatening people's lives and they, you know, are against other people. They have the right to be threatening people. That doesn't make...
That's what I meant, Doug.
Forward.
Don't you see yourself as threatening them?
I don't see it that way, no. What I'm doing is simply... Oh, I'm not the Ku Klux Klan. My goodness, Jade, I stand for everything against what they stand for.
Exactly, but you're just as far... the other end of the spectrum, but you're
why
still
did you hold
fanatical.
Why did you put a switchblade knife to someone's chest?
I told you. It is a way of activating a hormone that allows them to be more in touch with their feelings.
Let me ask you this.
I'm gay. You know I'm gay.
Yes.
Am I speaking with the lady, Jade? Is that your name? That's a beautiful name, by the way. That's a green stone from the Orient. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous stone. What I do, Jade, is I put you, like if I came up to you, what do you do for a living, dear?
I'm a massage therapist.
All right. You're a little bit more educated than your average checkout stand person, I dare say. But I'll come up to you and say, how do you feel about gay marriage? What would you say?
I would tell you I'm against it.
All right, then I would say to you, yeah, well, guess what, I'm gay. Now how do you feel about it?
And I would still tell you I'm against it.
See, you're not seeing me physically. You're just hearing it. When you are...
Exactly. If you threaten somebody, you can get them to say anything. If I put a gun to your head, I bet you would tell me you were straight.
I don't understand why you are taking this as a threat.
Oh, yeah? I'm gay.
If I'm a straight woman and I go up to somebody that is gay, and I ask them what they believe being gay, and then I put a knife to them and I tell them, are you straight or not? And they tell me they're straight. How is that? Would you think I was wrong for doing that?
Where are you putting the knife?
If I put it to their chest.
No, I wouldn't call that a threat.
When would it be a threat?
To the throat, it's a threat.
To the throat, it's a threat, but to the chest, it's not. You can't kill somebody by stabbing them in the heart.
What I'm trying to say to you, Jade, if you're afraid of gay, you know I'm gay, right?
Yes.
Are you afraid of me?
No.
Well, then how could you be intimidated? That's what I'm trying to say.
I haven't seen it.
So you're not telling me the truth. Are you in favor of gay marriage or are you not?
No, I'm not.
All right, you're lying.
No, I'm not.
She's not lying.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I think I know you're going against my opinion now. But because if you saw a gay man in front of you, the power of that would allow you to be truthful.
Okay, well, let me tell you this. I work with a woman that is
you're
gay.
You're a massage therapist. You know the body. You know that a finger in the chest will make people honest.
But let me tell you this. I work with a gay woman, and she is with another gay woman. They live together. I think she's a wonderful woman. I don't believe in gay marriage, and I will tell that to her face as much
well,
as I respect her.
You say you would, but you know that you'd be frightened, especially the we're talking about now an area that
exactly,
a lot of threatened.
Threaten me, exactly. If you frighten me, that's threatening. If you can frighten somebody into scaring them to believe what you believe.
Well, that's right, no, but I'm not doing that. But when you're talking about the greasy,
you know,
greasy
frighten her. You just said if you were frightened. If
no,
I was frightened, yes, I might say
you're
something.
You're not saying
I don't
anything honest to her, is what I'm saying. Because she's a big, greasy, oily diesel dyke. And
no,
her girlfriend.
Not.
Well, you just said she was.
She said she's
a
lesbian.
Where did you get off saying she was a dyke? I said she was gay. And she lives with another woman.
Okay, yeah.
She is very feminine.
Does she have a cropped-off Mary Astor haircut? No.
No, she does not. She wears makeup to work every day.
Does she wear men's slacks? Below the waist.
What?
I know she's got a beautiful face, but you know a lesbian below the waist. They've got their keys are on a chain, and they wear Florsheim loafers.
No, she wears high heels and skirts to work every day.
Well, I think she swings.
I think she doesn't.
All right,
she
okay. This is beside the point. Jade, thank you for your call, but I think your point is well made. But you say you are not intimidating them.
No, absolutely not. And Jade, she would not be afraid of me. I simply say to her, look, I'm gay. Now, do you want to rethink that? And she'd say, you know what, how come they shake my hand? How come they thank me? All of these things.
1-800-449-8686. Chris, go ahead. You're on with Doug Danger and Phil Hendry.
I would have to agree with Jade. I think you're intimidating people.
Well, okay, I disagree.
You're...
I mean, would I scare you? How do you feel about gay marriage?
I disagree with it also.
All right, see?
But and if you're in front of me, I'm going to say the same thing.
I'm gay. All right, I'm a gay man. Now, how do you feel about gay marriage?
I disagree. I don't like it.
Oh, yeah? Well,
I still disagree.
I'm not in front of you. I'm not in front of you.
Exactly.
See, so
and
you don't
agree
know.
With Jade. If you get in my face and start to scare me, which if you're saying these people are uneducated...
Ma'am, if you saw me, you would be afraid. You would change your mind. That's what I'm saying. That's the difference. If
no.
you saw me, it would change your opinion of gay marriage. You'd be 100% in favor of it.
I disagree.
Why?
Because I'm a gay man, all right? And the physical power of the gay man, as well as the fact... Now, let me ask you this. It doesn't bother you that there is, if they don't vote in gay marriage, that there could be some problems?
You know, those problems
see, that's what I'm saying.
To me are...
Gay riot has been with us for hundreds of years.
Well, that sounds like your problem, honestly. Gay riot should not affect me. What you do in your home should not affect me.
By the way,
me.
Phil, where'd you find this bundle of excitement? She's just all full of...
Never mind. Thank you for your call, Chris.
Thank you.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, I'm on your program because I want to... You know, engage people in conversation, not talk to, Sleepy. I talked to Sneezy, now you got Sleepy.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here. We're talking with Doug Danger of the Orange County Courier, and we're talking about gay marriage and how he has been doing a series for the Orange County Courier, going out and asking people, how do you feel about gay marriage? If they respond negatively, he will then say, well, I'm gay, now how do you feel about it? And generally, he says that changes their mind. The question is he really changing their mind, or is he scaring them? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The soul of America. Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Doug Danger with us from the Orange County Courier, writing a series on gay marriage. You're a gay man, a gay journalist, as you've told us. You don't usually involve yourself in gay issues, do you?
No, I really don't, Phil, but...
Why this one?
Well, I just, it's been, it's getting a little tiring listening to this thing being kicked around. As gay people, we want to move it forward. I'll say to people, how do you feel about gay marriage? Well, I'm against it. Yeah, well, why don't you give that another, why don't you think again about that? Okay, I'm in favor of it. We need to move it forward. I don't want to threaten people. I don't like to intimidate people. But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm fairly formidable because of that. So I ask you, what do you think, Phil, about gay marriage?
Well, I'm tempted to say I don't like it.
Why?
Because I just love to see you try to change my mind, that's all.
Because you think you're tough, right?
No, I don't think I'm tough, but I just, you know, I don't like the idea of having somebody stick a finger in my chest and say, think again.
Well, that's what I'm telling you. Are you? So you're against it, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I happen to be in favor of it. I don't even give a crap one way or the other, because I think civil union is the same thing.
You want to repeat that?
I don't think gay marriage is necessary. I think civil union is... I think the civil union that gay people have right now is fine.
So you're against it?
Okay, I'm against it.
Okay, you want to think again about it?
No, man, I'm not going to think again about it. And even if you were standing in front of me, because I happen to know you, Doug, so, you know, what, are you going to punch my lights out?
Well, you're a brave man. On a telephone, you're a brave man. But what I'm saying is...
Well, what are you telling me, man? You're going to beat me up?
I'm telling you this. In about 75 to 80 years, gay people will be the majority in this country. Now, we're either going to do it then or we're going to do it sooner. I mean, do you really want to piss off people that are soon going to be running the show? Now, I'm gay. Right?
Yeah.
I just wanted to get an honest answer.
Gay marriage to me is fine. I understand people's opposition to it because marriage has always been symbolic of a heterosexual union. And symbols are big. They're important. In fact, I was going to do a kind of talk about that tonight. Carl Jung's whole...
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, well, excuse me.
Yeah, but you see, you're talking Carl Jung. Who cares, man? Are you in favor of it or aren't you?
Because you're asking me that question? No, I'm not.
All right, so you want to piss me off?
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
Okay. What an ass.
I'm sorry?
Nothing.
Let's go to Julie. Julie, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, this guy is ridiculous. How can he dare to encroach his own opinions on someone else and step on their own individualism?
Their own what?
Their own individualism.
Well, let me ask you, are you in favor of gay marriage, yes or no?
No.
All right, so in other words, you want to piss me off.
Exactly. Because how dare you try to tell me how to think?
That proves it. That proves that you really don't have an opinion about it. You just want to piss me off. Now, see, only a gay man can get that truth out of you.
Excuse me, I have a gay woman sitting right next to me, and she agrees with me exactly the same way.
Are you gay?
No.
You know I'm gay?
Yes.
All right, so, and you are in favor of gay marriage?
No.
Yeah, but you just said you're against it because you want to tighten my jaws, right?
Nope. I just want to point out
that you
step on someone else's toes and say, hey, look, I'm gay, think my way, and screw what you think.
Wait a minute.
Your own life.
I don't know why you're against gay marriage. You got a girlfriend sitting there who would probably love to be your wife. And I've talked to about 100 teens and I only had to really slap about three of them.
You know what? You know why she wouldn't want to be my girlfriend? Because she respects my own opinion about my life.
Yeah, but you're hanging around.
I have two small children.
You're hanging around with her because the gay lifestyle is calling you.
No. Because she's been my best friend since we were 14.
That's like saying you got a blacket for a best friend. It's impossible. Only whites hang with whites and straights hang with straights. Now,
what kind of world do you live in, man?
Oh, stop it, Phil. I've talked to 100 teenagers. Most of them are honest. Yeah, man, I'm in favor of it. Yeah, yeah. Two of them got out of line. I slapped them. And I don't like to do that. I don't like to slap young people. I don't like to slap them across the face and see them cry.
There is no way that you live in a real world.
Well, I'm telling you, Doug, you slap one of my kids.
Oh, here we go. You gotta act tough again?
I'm not acting tough. You're the guy acting tough. Hey, what do you think about gay marriage? I'm against it. Yeah? Think about it again.
So you're calling me a bully.
You're slapping kids. You're pushing this lady around, calling her a liar, saying...
She's the one that said that the only reason why she was against gay marriage is because she wanted to piss me off. So that's not honest. You know what?
How can you tell me
Julie,
if I'm saying...
You.
Wait a minute.
Ask your girlfriend. You say your girlfriend's on a fast pitch team, right?
She's in the car, or she's in the store right now, but she is riding alongside me in the car.
She's fast pitch.
What?
What do you mean fast pitch?
She's a diesel dyke.
How in the heck do you call someone something like that when you act the way you do?
Ma'am, I'm trying to determine, are you the gay one or is she?
She is.
Oh,
I'm
and
married
you're...
with two small children.
And you're in favor of gay marriage and she's against it.
No. She has been married for 12 years.
She's been married for 12 years, your friend,
yes,
Julie?
She has.
Is she married to a guy?
No.
Well, I don't understand.
I do not agree with
she's
her
a gay woman.
But I respect her enough to still be her friend. That has nothing to do with our friendship.
Ask her if she's your friend and she's gay. Ask her how well she'll treat you when the gay riot comes down. Yeah. Yeah. Because that's when it's all going to be...
Oh, stop with the gay riot.
You know
what?
She has marched in gay pride marches, okay?
Yeah,
and
she respects
anyone that has a different opinion than she does.
Julie, I'm going to say this to you with all respect, but I think you more than once have been curious about eating a lunch, haven't you?
What do you mean eating lunch?
I mean that Julie is a wannabe lunch eater. And she's hanging out with a gay woman. Have you heard of a threesome? She wants you to come over to have a little lesbo sandwich with her and her girlfriend so that you can...
Will you stop?
You know, I've been asked about threesomes before, and I've turned them down every single time, and it's not...
Yeah, you know why? Because those women won't shave.
All right.
That has nothing to do with it.
All right, listen, Julie, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
How you doing?
Yes, sir.
Well, I just want to say to the gentleman on the phone from Orange County, who cares? You're going to live your life the way you want to. Why are you shoving it down our throats?
Well, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
So what?
You're aware of that, right?
Well, of course, but who cares?
Well,
you have to care.
You have to care because gay marriage is something that we want to get going here before the end of the decade. Now, I'll ask you, Jerry, are you in favor of gay marriage, yes or no?
I don't care, to be honest with you.
Well, if you don't care, then if you had to say one thing, what would it be?
Why are you making me make the choice?
Because I want to know where you stand, all right? Otherwise, you're either going to make me very happy or you're going to really piss me off.
You know
what is it with you, man? I mean,
who cares if you're pissed off? You know?
Well, if I was in your town, you would.
No, I wouldn't.
There's
gay people all over this town. They live their lives. We live our lives.
What town are you in, sir?
I'm in Johnson City, Tennessee.
Now, there's a gay bar in that town?
Of course.
What's it called? Do you know? I mean...
No, there's a couple. I don't know the names of them. I know where they are.
Okay, see? So you frequent... Well, you've been to them. So, in other words, you have some interest in the gay.
I have never been to them. I had to drive by them.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so what are you saying
you're making decisions for people that you've never met, and you're making them off the cuff.
All I'm saying is...
No, what you're saying...
Jerry,
trying to make people...
I'm gay. And you're gay.
You are trying to make decisions for people. You're shoving it down their throat, and that's where it's wrong.
Is it the End Up Bar and Grill?
I have no idea what the name of it is.
I think that's what it is. I'm just trying to get you to say you're in favor of gay marriage, and B, come on out. When your son wants to marry his best friend, Bob, you'll be so proud walking down the aisle with him, you'll be button off your vest.
See, you're making decisions for people without knowing who they are or what they're doing.
Exactly.
What you're doing is you are pushing it on people, and that's where people get offended. Now, if you just took it and said, hey, I'm a gay man, I'm going to live my life, who cares? You know, that's fine. You live your life the way you want to.
All right, how about if I said this? Hi, Jerry. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. My name's Doug. How do you feel about gay marriage?
I don't care either way. I've never thought about it. It's not important to me.
All right. And then as I walked away, I'd say, you know something? You're pissing me off.
Who cares? And I tell you that. Who cares?
Phil, you know, and I know that Jerry has his jammies with the back flap open every Saturday night.
Okay, you know something? Because Jerry is an open-minded straight guy, it doesn't make him a closet gay man. Thank you, Jerry.
Right.
Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
I know that one. That was Jerry Reed, wasn't he? When you're hot, you're hot. Yeah, when you're not, you're not. 30 days, Jerry. When you're hot, you're hot. That was Jerry Reed, you piece of swill. And you didn't tell me?
How am I supposed to go? What do you mean, Jerry Reed?
That was Jerry freaking Reed. As the day is long.
Whoever he is.
You never heard When You're Hot, You're Hot.
No, man, never did.
He sang the theme to Smokey and the Bandit.
Okay, good, man. I don't know who the cat is.
You know something? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and you're a lying sack of crap because you used to play that song on the air. You told me when you worked in Florida.
I know the song, When You're Hot, You're Hot. I didn't know it was Jerry Reed.
Jeez, what are you pissed off at?
Because you're starting to make me mad. Rachel, hi. Hi, Rachel.
Yes.
Hi, go ahead. I'm sorry to yell, but he's...
Yeah, I think what you're doing, Mr. Henry, is you're taking this and turning it into a different conversation.
No, you're talking to me about Jerry Reed. Who cares?
I just wanted to say that I don't know why you think that you're changing anybody's opinion when you walk away from them after you intimidate them into saying what you want them to say. They're just going to think the same way they thought the first time you asked them. That's their initial response. That's the way they feel about it.
Say that again.
You say to them, you know, what do you feel about gay marriage? They say, I disagree, and you assume that everyone somehow agrees with it. So you then tell them, I'm a gay man, and poke their chest and make them change their mind in front of you. However, they're just going to turn around and walk away thinking the same thing they thought before, that they're against it. You're not changing anybody's mind.
I'm sorry. Just give it to me one more time.
I'm saying that people are still going to feel the same way they felt the first time he asked the question. He's not changing anybody's mind by intimidating them into saying what he wants them to say.
If you could just say it...
No, she's not going to say it one more time. She said it three times.
What'd she say?
You know what she said. You're intimidating people, and when you do that,
Okay, I'm saying... I'll say it one more time. Okay.
What? Phil, are you going to put her on the air or are we just going to have this conversation off the air?
Correct?
Hold on, Rachel.
Okay.
All right, you're on the air now. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm saying...
You weren't on the air. I'm sorry. You were off the air.
I was off the air?
Yes, ma'am. So go ahead.
Okay, now I'm on the air.
Rachel, you're on the air.
Okay. What I'm saying is you're not changing people's mind by intimidating them into saying what you want them to say. They may tell you to your face that, oh, well, this guy's gay. I don't want to offend him. Sure, okay, then maybe it might be okay. But they're going to turn around and still feel the same way they felt before.
We had a problem. They're installing a new delay because of all the problems they had at CBS. Say it again.
Okay. I'm saying that you're not changing people's mind by intimidating them into thinking the way you want them to think. They're still going to feel the same way.
Are you talking about me?
No, I'm talking to Doug.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I'm talking to Doug. I'm saying that when you...
You're going to have to start all over again because I wasn't listening to you.
Okay. So you want me to go now with my opinion?
Please go now. Yeah, the tape's rolling.
Okay. I'm saying that when Doug goes up to people and asks them if they believe in gay marriage and if they oppose, and then he...
All right, you're on the air now, Rachel. Are you line five? You're on the air.
Okay. Doug, is he there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm saying that when he asks people...
Is this lady still... I'm sorry, Rachel, this is Phil Henry. I went to the bathroom. What's going on?
Nothing.
What is going on?
What do you mean, what's going on?
Well, I've been hearing him tell you you're on the air, you're on the air. You've always been on the air. Are you screwing around with her, Doug?
I was just having some fun.
You guys sound so much alike, I can't tell.
Yeah, I'm saying, look at... Rachel,
I'm sorry.
Look, the FCC is going to want to hear the first sentence one more time. When you're...
Never mind, Rachel, it's fine.
Okay, Doug, so you understand what I'm saying, then?
No, I don't. I don't understand a word of it.
You know exactly what I'm saying. You just don't have anything to say to that.
No, I don't. I don't know what you're talking about. When I first walk up to them and then they walk away, you lost me.
Okay. She's saying to you that when you intimidate people, you don't change their opinion. You get them to say things because they're saying it out of fear, not out of conviction.
All right. Are you gay, Rachel?
No, I'm not gay.
All right, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, right?
Okay, I understand that. You only said that 100 times.
And the fact...
Never mind. I got to let you go, Rachel.
Rachel, you're gay. You're a gay caller.
1-800-449-8686. We got to take a break, don't we? What do you do next time I go to the bathroom?
Well, I was just having some fun.
Hey, you're on the air. Hey, say it again. Line 5. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. He's still Jenny on the block.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Back with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. His series on gay marriage starts this Sunday. I have to ask you a serious question now, Doug. There is a gentleman by the name of William Chapin, who is the owner of Barton Hanson Tuxedos in Newport Beach.
Oh, this story is so overblown.
No, but tell me the story and what happened. You went in there.
I went in there as part of my series, and I said, I want to order two groom tuxedos. Because I wanted to gauge how he would react to that.
Two groom, as in a gay marriage.
That's right. I said, I'd like two groom tuxedos. And then I looked at him, I kind of cocked my head, and I said, for a gay marriage. And as I said the word gay, I kind of leaned forward. And as sure as God put green apples in trees, I saw him smirk. And that was the green light. Because I'm not going to...
Okay, well, when you say green light, this man had a cash register dropped on his head. He was hospitalized with a skull fracture.
All right, I don't know anything about that. All I know is that it was on. You know, the green light was lit. Because he gave...
Did he throw hands at you? Was he trying to get physical?
The guy's laughing at me when I'm trying to get two groom tuxedos.
Well, the police say that you were cuffed and spent a night in jail, right?
That doesn't make me guilty of anything. That means that I was arrested. Doesn't make me guilty of anything.
Have you been before a magistrate or a judge?
Not yet, no. And I'm pleading, not guilty, too. Why don't you go to another call? Don't you have a caller?
Well, now I have a commercial I got to go to.
Well, nice going with my boring story. Could have gone to that Teresa in Bristol.
Let's go. Teresa, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Teresa.
Hello?
Hi, go ahead, ma'am.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Teresa. This is Doug Danger. I'm gay, and I don't have any more time. Phil does, but I got to go. because I'm gay, and I have my... Gay people are always on the clock.
I mean, it's fine. It's fine that you're gay.
He hung
That's
up.
That's wonderful.
He hung up.
I have no problem with that.
Okay.
My problem is that you are misrepresenting the majority
it's a very
of gay
good point.
People
yeah.
in the United States.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Get a piece of fat. And now, here's Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Vernon Dozier is the author of a book called Play the Cards You're Dealt. He's a high school athletics coach, high school teacher for the past 32 years. How'd the title of your book come about?
Phil, the title came about. It used to anger me when I heard the oh, woe is me attitude from the handicapped. I was one of those people who it used to anger to hear them say, well, I have only one leg, but I'm doing the best I can. I have only one eye. I'm doing the best I can. It used to make me angry. I remember one day, though, I was at a bar, in fact, having a glass of beer, and I squeezed the glass until it broke in my hands. I'll never forget that, because I heard this guy, who was a Vietnam veteran, at the end of the bar, he had a prosthetic leg, and he said, well, I'm playing the cards I was dealt. It made me so angry that I broke the glass. And
really? Why?
I don't like that kind of... I didn't like that kind of simple-minded talk. I would rail against things that were wrong with me. But one day in September of 1984, I finally understood what they meant. That was the day my daughter Shannon was born. I had always dreamed of having a son, I'd always wanted to have a boy that I could eventually train and hopefully mold into becoming a professional football player. My wife and I, for health reasons, were not able to conceive more than one child. And in September 1984, that child arrived, and it was a girl. So it appeared at that time that my wife, Anne, and God himself decided to, I guess, just pee all over my dreams. But then I thought about what I heard that cripple say, play the cards that you're dealt.
Did you see your daughter as a handicap because you wanted a son?
Well, there was no way that my daughter was going to be able to play professional football. I knew that. Now, I love her, but I knew then and there, and I remember looking at my wife as we were driving home from the hospital. I said to her, boy, I'll never forget. I said, you must really hate me. You knew I wanted a son. And I pointed to the back seat to where the girl was. I says, and that's what you give me. But
you say you love your daughter.
Well, but soon I realized, you know what? God gives you lemons, you make lemonade. And as soon as Shannon could walk, I got a basketball. And I decided that I might be able to get through this if I could just maybe get this, you know, get it to play basketball. I'd have a kid who might make a name for itself, even though it's a girl. But boy.
All right, Vernon, you're remembering the day you saw that your new daughter, your new kid was a girl.
Yes, and it's still, it's kind of sensory memory. It still just sends, because I always wanted a son, and it would seem that, I guess God hated me.
Is it so bad to have a daughter?
Well, no, because what I did was, I decided, even though she couldn't be a football player, that I would make her a basketball player, and I worked with her, and I trained her. Life, Phil, sometimes is a series of just bumping into a wall and bruising yourself and bumping into a wall and bruising yourself. Just as soon as I got over the shock of training, of the fact that I had a daughter, then she becomes very good. She gets a scholarship last year to the finest women's basketball program in the country, the University of Connecticut.
Congratulations.
Well, okay. Are you saying that to me, or are you saying that to her? All right.
Well, I mean, congratulations to the family.
Well, here's what happened. ESPN and this guy, Tony Bruno on Fox, they wanted to talk to her. They interviewed her. Tony Bruno interviews her. I talked to this Bruno, and I said, you know, I'm her father, and I'm the one that, you know, coached her. And he said, yeah, that's great. But he wanted to talk to her. So just as soon as I get over the fact that my wife gave me a girl when I wanted a boy, now they come along and they kick me directly in the groin again by ignoring me.
Did you want media coverage?
I think the fact that I had trained this girl to be a basketball, yeah, I don't understand your question.
In other words, you wanted ESPN to, you know, your daughter got a scholarship to UConn and you wanted ESPN to talk to you too?
Yes. Yes. Apparently you're not hearing what I'm saying.
No, I'm hearing what you're saying. I just, why? I mean, is the question, and hold on, our number 1-800-449-8686. So what is it that you're trying to point out here?
What I'm trying to point out is this. No matter what happens to you in life, you can rise above it. I rose above having a daughter. It's not bad to have a daughter. Okay?
Well, that's the way you're making it sound.
No, it's fine to have a daughter. But if you want to have someone that you can fish with, hunt with, Little League, what do you call it, Pop Warner, what do you call it, all that, okay, sit around and have a, and tell some dirty jokes. You can't do that with a girl, but you can still make lemons out of lemonade. She can't be a football player, but she can become a damn good basketball player. But just remember, play the cards you're dealt. I've been disrespected from the day she was born. A, God gave me a daughter when he knew I wanted a son, but apparently he hates me, and I've been able to live with that.
Now, hold on for a minute. I'm having a hard time you talking about God, whether or not people believe in that. Why do you say God hates you? Because you wanted a son, and you got a daughter.
Because I, bingo, there you go. Give the man a cigar. Yes, because I wanted a son, and I'm not being sarcastic, Phil.
Well, I mean, it sounds to me like you're disrespecting your daughter.
No, I'm not disrespecting my daughter. I'm just saying, good for you. You're going to go to UConn and play basketball. You know, I mean, Phil, it's not what I would call the sexiest thing in the world, but she's doing fine, and that's okay. Do you think I could get a little mention about what I did?
Well, you're on our show right now talking. We have Vernon Dozier with us. He is the father of Shannon Dozier. She has she's going to be playing basketball. In fact, she's playing basketball right now for the University of Connecticut, right?
That is correct, yeah.
And she's a great basketball player, and you worked with her and helped her become the player that she is, but it's always been a bitter pill that you got a daughter instead of a son. And one of the things you mentioned is that you don't have anybody you can sit around and tell crude jokes with?
Well, what I mean is, when you've got a boy, you can be a man, you can, you know, cut farts if you want to, you can, you know, yeah, whatever, you know, tell filthy stories, you know, and no one's going to get misunderstand it. I tried telling some jokes. I just, because I missed the company of having a boy, Shannon was with me and one of her girlfriends, and we went out on a boat out here at Lake Kachuma, and I wanted to take the girls fishing, and I started farting and telling some filthy stories about prostitutes.
And to the girls?
Well, yes, sir. It's,
well, I mean, this is what I'm saying.
No, hold on for a minute. If I'm going to have to live with having just a daughter for a kid, then she's going to have to, and I would say this to any parent, don't stop being yourself. See, a lot of parents don't have the guts. They live their...
No, hold on for a minute, Mr. Dozier. If you don't mind, I have three sons.
You have three sons?
Yes, sir, I do. I've got three stepsons, but I consider them to be my sons.
And you got three of them. You're a lucky man.
I consider myself to be a very lucky man, yeah. In fact, I took a couple of them to Lambeau Field to see the Packers.
See, that's, to me, that's heaven. That's lucky you, Mr. Henry. That is so great.
Well, it was a lot of fun. It was.
And do you bring that up to rub it in, or...
No, sir, I'm not. To you?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, if you've got a daughter, and you want to have fun with your daughter, and you want to take her fishing, that's fine, too. My daughter likes to fish, but there's no way I'm going to sit around there in the boat with her, cut farts, and tell stories about prostitutes that I was with in the Army.
Because why?
Because, for God's sake, she's a little girl.
Well, what about the... I'm not talking about little... Right now, she's 18.
I'm leaving an 18-year-old girl, for crying out loud.
See, this is it. You've got three sons. You can talk like that. You're a wealthy man when it comes to having sons. I don't have a son. I got this. And I go fishing with it. The least it can do is laugh at some of my jokes. So I cut a fart. Big deal. You want to... What, can you imagine me taking my daughter to Lambeau Field? And people will say, what are you doing with that? I said, well...
You can take your daughter down in the field at Lambeau Field. Why couldn't you do that?
Did you see any women down there when you...
Yeah, I did. I saw, well, girlfriends.
Yeah, you didn't see any daughters, though, did you?
I don't know. I saw some guys with a girlfriend.
Yeah, no daughters. Thank you.
Sir.
Thank you.
No, wait a minute.
No, you didn't see any daughters. That's thank you.
All right, here is Kathy, or Candy. Hi, Candy. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
This man is ridiculous. First of all, your sperm decided the sex of your child, not your wife and not God. Your sperm is the only
God didn't have anything to do with it.
Your sperm is the only biological part of any process of making children that can determine the sex of a child. Secondly, I hope and I pray that your daughter is not hearing any part of what you're saying on this radio, because I would be heartbroken to think my daddy felt I was second rate.
Now, hold on. I love my little girl.
And
hold on.
If my daddy had asked me to go hunting with him, I would go hunting. If my daddy asked me to go fishing with him, I would go fishing. I can tell you my 5-year-old daughter sits on the couch with my husband and watches football and begs my husband, Daddy, find football. She may not can play football, but so what? She can do a gazillion other things.
All right, okay, that's good. And your daughter may say, Daddy, find football, and then you turn it on and you go, yeah, it's great. I got a girl sitting with me.
Yeah.
I mean, what about your husband? How much fun is he having? See, that's the whole thing.
He is having a blast.
Oh, sure.
You know what? He is secure enough in his manhood to know that he has a pride and joy sitting beside him, enjoying every moment that he has.
Can I jump in here?
This,
all right, let me jump in. The idea that you're telling your daughter jokes.
Well, this lady here doesn't want me to do that, though, see? She says you want me to take my daughter fishing, right, ma'am? But I can't tell a few jokes about prostitutes. Is that it?
Does that make you a better man to tell jokes
it's
about
It's just the way I relax. If I had a son, I could talk about all the chicks
that I... So you're saying you would rather bring up your son in a crass, crude, egotistical...
you just don't understand.
Woman-bashing sort of way.
You don't understand.
That will make him more of a man than if you just sit there and enjoy the time you have with the child, regardless of its sex.
Ma'am, I love my daughter, but can I tell you, you don't know how painful it is.
You love what your child can bring to you.
You don't know how painful it is.
You want to have ESPN come to you and ask you about your child's success?
She wouldn't
be. Why not let your child revel in the success that she's had?
All right, I want to make one point,
and let her enjoy the spotlight. Because you had your chance to enjoy the spotlight, but obviously you have not done anything with your life to enjoy the spotlight.
Wait a minute, what spotlight? ESPN didn't interview me. Let me just say with this. Do you know how painful it is not to have your own offspring be able to use the same bathroom that you use?
Oh, please. That is stupid.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I don't even get respect from some woman I don't even know.
No, you're not getting any respect from me.
What do you mean, do you know how painful it is not to be able to use the same bathroom as your offspring?
Are you? Oh, my God, the disrespect.
So
yeah,
we're
you're
not
getting
disrespect
from me because you're disrespecting your daughter.
All right.
And right now your daughter doesn't have the opportunity to speak out. So I'm speaking for your daughter. How shameful it
is
to be on the radio saying something about your daughter.
You go see her play basketball for University of Connecticut. She's a star. She's a point guard. She don't even start. And that's also embarrassing, but I guess you don't want me to say that, so I'll just shut up.
Oh, sir,
Your child has made a wonderful success by making the basketball team in the most prestigious basketball in the country. To be on the UConn team does not mean that she has to start every game. But you should.
Okay, can I say something? My daughter is taller than me. My daughter is taller than me, okay?
Good. Maybe we're going to beat your ass.
Wait a minute. Is this the problem you're having?
Among other things, yes.
Well, you could have a son that would be taught.
It would be all right if it was a boy. But I got a daughter who's bigger than me.
Sounds like you have short man syndrome.
God.
All right, listen, Candy, thank you. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. We're talking here with Vernon Dozier, who always wanted a son, but he says God, quote, lifted his leg to him and gave him a daughter. He trained the girl anyway to be a great basketball player. She plays for the University of Connecticut. Her name is Shannon Dozier. She's fantastic, as is the entire University of Connecticut program. But Mr. Dozier doesn't like the fact that she's not a boy. I guess he's like a lot of men. Yeah, my daughter's fine, but I'd sure like a son. And it is true. How does that make the girl feel? He said, well, he took his daughter fishing, and that was a lot of fun, but he took his daughter and one of her friends fishing, but then he started farting and telling jokes about prostitutes that he'd had in Japan. 1-800-449-8686. So, this is a guy who doesn't feel like he's getting any respect at all. His daughter was born when he wanted a son, and now ESPN interviews her about going to college and not him. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Building sandcastles in your mind. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're on with Vernon Dozier, who's written a book, Play the Cards You Were Dealt, even if they're cards that, you know, are tough to, in your book, tough cards to play, that you had a daughter instead of a son, and that ESPN will interview her and not you. And I find that in comparison to, you say you've hung out with a lot of, quote, cripples, end quote, that's not such bad... Those aren't such bad times.
Well, you know, Mr. Henry, read my book and you'll understand a little bit better. I'm not about to sit here and allow you to denigrate my experience.
Well, I'm not denigrating you, sir, but you're saying that, you know, your life has been hell since you've had a daughter because you can't fart in a fishing boat with her.
All right, we'll make a joke out of it if you want to.
Well, that's what you said. Here is Sarah. Go ahead, Sarah. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, I'd just like to say that you're undermining your daughter simply because she's a female. That's terribly, terribly unfair to her. I went through the same thing with my dad. You know, I bought a Mustang when I was 16 just so we could work on it together. He wouldn't let me touch not one piece on that car. And countless other things, you know. We went fishing. He'd have to tie the knots for me. Everything. He'd do it, you know. He didn't believe that I had the ability to do anything.
Well,
and
dear,
then, you know what?
Hold on.
You got your opportunity to talk, please. Let me speak.
All right. You're going to tell me your life story.
We've heard yours.
Well, I'm the guest. I'm the one that wrote the book. She didn't. Okay.
Oh, I'm writing my own book right now, sir.
Oh, that's great. My agent booked this interview on the show, so I got to sit and listen to your story. Look, your father bought...
Well, let the lady finish, please. Go ahead, sir.
I just wanted to say that I joined the Army, and I found that there were men there who were willing to teach me how to understand a male mind and how to be a person and not be divided by sex, men or women.
Sir, with all due respect.
To stand tall and proud as a human being, as an individual with strength, a mind, intelligence.
Are you crying? See, now she's
no,
crying.
No, I'm very nervous. This is my first time on
the air.
You're
doing fantastic, Sarah.
Oh, she's
bawling.
Thank you very
much.
She's bawling just like all women do.
No, she's not. You're doing fine. Go ahead,
sir. You would not make me cry.
Ma'am.
I would never give you that opportunity.
I only wanted one day of happiness through 20 years of raising a daughter. I took her to a Little League game with me. And this is how desperate I was for just one day to feel like I had a son. I made her wear a baseball cap with her hair up in it. I had her put a banana down in her shorts, and I, for one day, people thought she was a little boy. And that's how sad my life's been, and you're sitting there crying about a Mustang?
Sir, I am not crying, and let me tell you that your perversion is in your mind because you want your daughter to be a son, and you need to take care of your neurosis.
Well, ma'am, if I had a brand spanking new Mustang convertible, I would find it very difficult to allow a girl to touch it.
Not brand spanking new, it's 64, a classic. I wanted something to work on with him, something we could develop a bond. But no, he denied me that because I was a female. He refused to accept the fact that I was an intelligent person.
All right, let's get down to the brass tacks.
And I can understand mechanics.
Let's get down to the brass tacks. Did he touch you?
Okay, now come on.
My goodness.
No, he touched you, didn't he?
No, come on.
I love my father very much, and I stay home to take care of him because he has diabetes. So, you know what?
Did you secretly want to be a lesbian? Is that it?
No,
no, what the hell, man?
Department, okay?
Yeah. Look, I got a female friend who races cars. She loves to race cars. She clocks them. She goes out there to the salt flats.
Did your wife know about it?
I knew about her before I got married. Anyway, thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
Sarah, I just want to say I think you're a fine young woman, and thank you for your service to our country, okay?
I don't think you should be allowed to drive a Jeep,
but I think that...
Yeah, fine. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. God's favorite radio show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Vernon Dozier, the author of Play the Cards You're Dealt. You know, sir, I know you wanted to have a son, and you were disappointed when a daughter was born, but taking her to a Little League game and making her put her hair up in a ball cap and put a banana down her shorts, to me, as you heard that one caller say, sounds perverse.
Sir, I really resent any intimation that there's something sexual involved in that. I just wanted for a day to know what it was like to have a son.
How about just reveling in the glory of having a beautiful daughter?
I can revel in the glory of having a daughter when she goes to a prom, when she gets married, when she does the things that a girl looks good doing. I know it's not politically correct, but God... I took my daughter and her little friend fishing, and I remember saying, girls, I got to go, go to the bathroom or whatever I said, and I'm standing up peeing, and I remember I started to cry, and I couldn't believe that I was crying, and then I remembered that my daughter would never know what it was like to stand up peeing, and I had to compose myself before I got back to the boat. Because I knew I'd never be able to stand there side by shoulder to shoulder with my daughter and you know, and squirt one against a wall or, you know, have some fun, you know, play a little urinal football. These are the things that a father misses more than anything else.
You know, I got, like I said, I got three sons, and I've never, ever, ever decided that, boy, it sure would be nice to play urinal football with my sons.
I'm talking about coloring the snow, having some fun.
Yeah, I know what you mean, peeing. Here is Donna, I believe. Donna, go ahead, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm one of five girls, and I'm in my early 40s, sir. And I want to make you understand that my father never regretted having us. And in his opinion, we are blessings from God. And I understand your position. I don't understand your position, but your statement that you said, if I'm going to have to live with having a daughter, I am so
right.
distressed for your daughter that she will never live up to your expectations for a child. I think what a horrible burden that is for her to have to bear through her life. And
Ma'am, God gave me lemons, but I've made lemonade.
Not a lemon.
She goes to University of Connecticut, the finest female basketball program in the country. Why? Because of me. And when ESPN came to interview her, nobody even said boo to me. No one even said to me, hey, boy, go get me some coffee. Nothing.
Because it's her accomplishment.
Her accomplishment?
It's her accomplishment. She's the one playing.
I'm the one that wanted to have the son in the NFL,
sure.
Not her.
May I please say, as an aside, I'm certainly not going to get into a verbal sparring match with you, that as a child and as an adult, I have always loved football, baseball, basketball, watched them religiously
yes, ma'am.
With my father, gone to sporting events beyond many, many sporting events with my father and my husband, enjoyed ourselves. My daughter has played Little League without a banana, mind you, plays basketball, plays volleyball, as does my son.
Ma'am, I don't make my daughter wear a banana. I just said for one lousy day she shoved a banana in her pants, and you want to make a federal case out of it.
Sir, my daughter
father,
played with her ponytail sticking out of her hat.
I can tell you something. I'll bet your father would pray more than once that some morning you and your four...
Sir, I'm sure that he didn't. As
well,
he
ma'am,
told me many
until
times
you know
we
what
blessed.
It's like, until you know what it's like to... want the experience of, well, let's say conspiratorially buying your son his first box of condoms, and instead you're standing there with a box of Playtex Junior Slims, you're never going to know the pain that I live in.
Oh,
the hell.
Sir. How sad for
what
you that
the
there
hell?
Are so many women.
In other words, you wanted to stand there looking at a box of condoms, and instead it's a box of Playtex Junior Slims.
That's right, Jack.
How sad for you.
Oh, well, okay. Thank you very much, Mother. In the
I
name
am.
Of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
There are so many people who
you know what I'm
sad.
I'm sad because you're so friggin' dull.
Okay.
That's fine, sir. I'm not going to spar with him.
Ma'am, until you know the joy of peeing standing up, I wouldn't be throwing so many bars.
Well, I can squat. So what's the difference?
I'll bet you can.
You're a strange man, sir.
Ma'am, I'm not strange so much as I just want to know what it's like not to have God lift up that big robe of His. Hook one of his sandals through a picket fence and pee on me. Thank you.
Oh, he hung up.
Oh, my. Sorry.
Good God. All right. Thank you very much. Very good, Donna.
So sorry.
Yeah, all right. 1-800-449-8686. Forgive me, our guest hung up. I guess he was angry or felt that he had been mistreated somehow. But if I hear one more reference to God peeing on him, oh, here he is. You know, sir, you can't hang up on me.
Then how come she gets to keep running her mouth and I don't?
What do you mean running her mouth? You're the guy that said you had a daughter and you don't know the joy of buying your son's first box of condoms. It was a box of Playtex Junior Slims. Let's go over here to Elaine. Hello, Elaine.
Hi, how are you?
Good, ma'am.
I have three sons and I would like him to trade places. My husband coached baseball and coached football and everything like this here. And I would like for him, if he would like to trade places
with
my husband.
I would love to have the opportunity to coach young men.
Good.
And,
because now he can't do it.
Why?
And he cannot pee against the men's urinal.
Why is that?
Because he's blind. He lost his sight. Instead of you getting on your knees and thanking God that you have a breathing daughter and a daughter that's healthy... You're complaining about penises and condoms? Why, I got this blind husband who can't do things with his kids?
Well, ma'am, he wouldn't have.
You.
Ma'am, he wouldn't have gone.
Kay.
Right. That's right. That's
right. What the hell are you saying to this woman?
That's right.
Well, why'd he go?
That's right. That's how he got blind from. Yeah.
From
now
playing with himself.
My son's in the background. Don't you dare say that about his father. Yeah, here.
What is your son retarded?
You're an ass, he said.
Is he retarded?
Is he retarded? No, but he says you are.
Well, I can hear a man in the background going, "You're not talking about daddy." I don't know what that is.
Okay,
yeah,
look at sir.
Because you're a disgrace.
Absolutely.
And I wish I'm going to get your daughter's name. I wish that I could talk to your daughter.
Okay, here's her name.
Her name. Give
Betty,
me her name.
Betty.
Betty?
Boner.
Betty Boner, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, you gave her a boner, right? That's a shame. I would be disgraceful to tell anybody that you were even related, let alone a father.
Ma'am, I'm
trying.
You
better get on your knees, because what goes around comes around. I'm telling you, you're going to get...
me blind today.
Yeah, you can use all the excuses you want. You can use all the excuses you want. That doesn't hurt me.
Look, you...
That doesn't hurt me, because I know why he went blind. I know what I did. You're... That's right.
Well, let me ask you, can he play piano?
Yeah, he can play a piano.
Well, Ray Charles didn't kill him.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, you know what? You are really an insensitive jackass saying these things to this woman. Elaine, this is Phil Hendry. So, I can understand what you're saying, and I appreciate fathers that spend time with sons or daughters.
My father didn't have no son, and my father did a lot with me, too. He didn't drive a car, but we went on a bus. We did a lot of things together. And I loved my father dearly. And for this guy
was
to
your
say
father
this
blind
about
too?
His daughter, and I'm saying about pissing against the wall, my husband's lucky that he could sit down on the damn toilet to see where
he's
pissing.
Wait a minute, you don't have to have eyes to pee against a wall. Are you kidding?
Oh, yeah, probably you don't. You probably piss all over your damn floor. Probably stinks in your house.
Let me ask you something. Did your father ever make you put a banana in your shorts?
No. No.
You know what?
He's
I am going to.
Like you.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
Only ignorant people that do that.
Unbelievable. Elaine, I thank you for your call and the best to your family.
Okay.
From the Phil Hendry Show. You're a real, real crude slob. Did your father ever make you put a banana in your shorts?
Just to know what it was like to have a son. Hey, wait a minute. He wouldn't have to with her, would he?
All right, I'm done with him. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Truth, justice, comedy. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You can pick up the best of the Phil Hendry Show 2003 CD. It's called The Death of Talk Radio by going to our website, www.philhendryshow.com. This year alone, since we started the sale of our CD, we've raised over $50,000. And all of the proceeds go to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And so it's really good, and all of the bread goes to them after our production costs. You can order it... on the telephone as well, if you don't have a computer, 877, or access to the net, I should say, 877-616-7445. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. From our program yesterday, we had Robert Greene, CEO of Fraser Foods. He was on to comment about the recent inquest into Princess Diana's death. He believes it's possible the British government or the royal family had something to do with it because, look, if they didn't want her to go out with an Arab and she did, what choice did they have but to kill her?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, well, the one thing about it, Princess Diana was killed in 1998. September 11th happened in 2001. Does he know that it was that many years difference?
Well, it might have been a lot worse.
No, you know what? My problem with you is the fact you want to take away a few people's rights. You want to take away a lot of people's rights because of a couple of people. And the thing is once you take away their rights, then your rights are going to be gone. And then what are we going to be? Are we going to then be in a dictatorship or
a
communist?
How am I taking away democracy? How am I taking away anybody's rights?
You just want to take away the Arabs' rights.
No, I'm not. I just said they
absolutely
don't want...
Absolutely are.
No, their right to marry Princess Diana. Is that like a constitutional right or something?
You know what? It's called freedom of choice. Have you heard of it?
Diana was a threat to Britain's safety, just like my daughter and this Chinese guy were a threat to my grocery store chain. I'm sorry?
She was absolutely not part of the British family anymore. She would not have been a threat to the security of that country.
The security
The problem with you is you want to take away certain races' rights.
No, I do not, ma'am.
A couple of people within that race, and what's going to happen is then all of our rights are gone.
My daughter marrying a Chinaman was going to take away the security of Fraser Foods and our expansion plans, especially our delicatessen expansion plans for 2004.
Okay, so the man was from China. Are you sure he wasn't an American? You sure he didn't become an American citizen? You sure you didn't offend him by playing the Chinese national anthem when you should have been playing the American national anthem? Did you ever try to figure that out?
You know what? That's a very good point.
Background.
Well, you know what? I'll score one for you. You're right. I never. So you're saying it might have pissed him off that I was playing.
He could have been an American.
Jesus.
What an idiot. So, in other words, there's an American, Asian American coming in with the noodles and chopsticks, and you're playing the Chinese national anthem.
You know, I don't appreciate being laughed at, sir.
Well, we're laughing at you.
Because that's what you're doing. You are profiling people. You know, people in this country, we didn't come here. We all came from different countries.
Yes.
What countries is your family from?
America, thank you very much.
No, what country
is your... Are you Indian?
Am I an Indian? No.
Are you an Indian? They're the only ones that were here originally. Everybody else came over by boat. Where did you come from?
The Indians came from Asia, so they were not here originally either.
They were here before everybody else. Where are your roots from?
Three guesses.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
I have three things to say to you. You're sick. You're immature.
Grow up.
Get a job and get a life.
That's three things.
I'm going to tell you what. I drive a 1992 Illumina Eurosport. I've got three teenagers. One drives a Mustang.
I wouldn't call that a luxury car.
No, you just wait. One drives a Mustang. One drives a Honda Accord. And don't tell me that you're all that. You know, you...
Honda Accord isn't a luxury car. I'm talking about kids driving a Lexus, and they're playing...
It doesn't matter.
You hear that?
You know what? My kids listen to that, too. But so what?
You know what?
No, you listen to...
You want to hear that coming out of a Lexus?
Listen. No, you listen to what I have to say, because you know what? People like you... are nothing but scum of the earth. Your ex-wife can file attempt murder against you for putting Vaseline on that. You could have killed your ex-wife, her boyfriend, and your daughter. And you say you worship the ground.
Oh, what's your language, lady? We'll hang up on you.
I'm in control of the show. Thank you very much.
I'm going to tell you what. People like you, you have a nice car. You have a nice car. You have an old car. That's
a Chevy Malibu.
You should put me on. Yes, you should appreciate that car. You have a nice car.
Let me ask you a question here, Larry. What kind of music should be coming out of a Lexus if not hip hop?
I would think something very tasteful.
Like what? Give me an example.
Anything by Neil Diamond or music like that. Oh, get aboard, Cracklin' Rose. That kind of a thing.
Yeah, ma'am.
My kids listen to Eminem.
Right.
They listen to POD.
Every kid does.
My kids listen to
Limp Bizkit, Linkin Park.
Exactly. This is not the 1800s no more, sweetheart. You're living in 2002.
What about a tasteful James Taylor selection?
Oh, come on. These are kids today. They're down with a lot of different music, not James Taylor. And what do you mean, Cracklin' Rosie?
I would think that would be... And I'm in a Malibu Chevy, and a kid pulls up doing that to me?
You know what it sounds like to me, Phil, is that this man has got issues.
It's jealousy, is what it is.
He's got issues. Excuse me. Sir, can I ask you something?
Yes, ma'am. You can ask me something, but don't use it as an entree to indict me.
Okay. Did you grow up in a poor family? Yes or no?
Mother and father were comfortable.
Okay. If you were grown up in a comfortable household, therefore that makes you want to work harder for what you believe in and what your dreams are and what you want to do with your life. Everything that I have is paid for.
Your car isn't leased.
No, my car is not leased. My car is paid for. My vehicles are paid for. And, yes, I do drive a luxury vehicle.
Well, ma'am, I drove my parents' Cadillac. I never had my own car. And
oh, wait a minute. You drove your parents' Cadillac?
There you go. Wait, it sounds like...
Yeah, that's right. And you don't want kids driving their Lexus, huh?
But I wasn't playing this.
To the fast lane.
Oh,
it doesn't matter.
You didn't hear that. You heard Cracklin' Rosie get on board.
Let me ask you something. Do you go to church?
Do I go to church?
Yeah.
Mother and I attend occasionally. And also the Beach Boys. What about them?
You know
round,
what?
Round,
listen,
get around.
Listen.
I get round, round. Well,
listen, listen. My kids listen to their music. I listen to my music. I listen to 96.3, which is rock in Wichita, Kansas, okay? And there's a lot of kids.
Is that the rock?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, they listen. My kids listen to rap. They listen to all kinds
of
music.
Do they listen to this?
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, when the truth just isn't enough.
Show brought to you by Gummo. One bottle helps clean out harmful deposits and can restore your car's lost performance. That's good, clean driving.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
And congratulations on our order for Bobby Dooley, the new president of the Western Estates. What was that? Well, I don't know if Bobby's there, but I can hear her working out. So, maybe that was her screaming, but I'll try to get her back on the line. But in any event, congratulations are in order for Bobby Dooley, who has been elected president of the Western Estates Democratic Party Women's Club. You there, Bobby? Well, how about now? Gee, that's funny. I don't have a... You there?
Yes, I'm right here, Phil. I've been saying hello for the last couple of minutes. And... Can you hear me?
Oh, you know, it's really funny. When they come in and clean the room, I guess they hit some buttons on my broadcast board. I apologize.
Well, I was going to say that was Howard Dean's victory cheer for me. So.
All right. Anyway, congratulations.
Well, thank you. It's been a dream come true. We are going to defeat George Bush this fall because he doesn't know what he's doing. He is absolutely... so clueless, and so he is messing up everything, and also in Iraq, and, you know, we just have to do something about it. So.
Well, the congratulations to you.
Well, I thank you.
Now, what is the platform for the Democratic Party and its approach to George Bush?
Well, first of all, we're gonna defeat George Bush. There's no question in my mind that is going to happen. This is... first and foremost, what is happening in Iraq, and there's no health care for anyone, and, you know, the rights of everybody have had been threatened, and he's going to send troops now to Afghanistan, I heard. So, or not Afghanistan, but I mean Pakistan. So defeating George Bush is our number one target. All right.
But what is the specific agenda for the country, the domestic agenda?
Well, we got to get people back to work. We've got to get people back. All right,
but how are you going to do that? I mean, the recession just happened, which would have occurred under an Al Gore administration, unless, of course, Al Gore, Alan Greenspan, he'd replaced Alan Greenspan when he got elected, which I don't think he was going to do. So, what is the, you know, how are you going to do that? Get people back to work?
Well, But the Democratic Party is committed to getting people back to work. That's all that we need to say. Howard Dean said it very well, to become a community again. And we need to do that. We have the 4 points, really, that I would make were I running Howard Dean or John Kerry's campaign, which I'm not, but it would be exciting because I admire both men immensely. Number one, more jobs. We need more jobs. Number two, you know, we need to put people back to work. I think that's more than anything else we have to do. Number three, to make more money available to people so, you know, they don't get upset. And the poor people need more money. I think more than anything else, the poor need more money, obviously. And that's sort of like that goes without saying. And the other thing, Phil, that more importantly I wanted to talk about is as the president of the Western States Democratic Party Women's Club, I have assumed an enviable but nonetheless stressful job. And we are going to be sending a delegate nominee to the Democratic Convention in Boston. And I am going to be that delegate. So two dreams have come true for me, being president of the club and going to Boston for our convention.
And that's in late July.
That will be in late July, yeah.
Now, the name Gail Roswald came up in a newspaper article. Tell me about Gail.
Oh, Gail, you know, I have been dealing with it. Gail is a wonderful woman. She is a wonderful woman. She's one of our delegates, or she's one of our members. She wants to be a delegate. She has a son who's in the Air Force Academy. She has a husband who's a successful businessman. I think the world of her. I can't allow her to go back to the convention because of a physical infirmity that she has.
Now, I understand the woman suffers from lazy eye.
Yeah, some people call it wall eye. It's, you know...
She's a Gulf War veteran. Am I right or am I wrong?
She was in the U.S. Army. I believe she worked on a Patriot missile battery during the Gulf War, yeah. I can't indulge her. I can't have her leaving an area that is known for women who are certainly very active, but we're also, you know, physically appealing, and we take care of ourselves. And I send a woman who is, you know, 50-something, who's a little, I would say, heavy, who has one eye, she's got a drifting eye. If it wasn't for the eye, I'm sure.
All right, well, there's a major letter that she wrote to the L.A. Times, where she critiques this.
Well, I wrote a letter to the L.A. Times as well, and I said I can't have someone that with an eye that drifts. I'm sorry, but...
Hold on. 1-800-449-8686 is our number here. We're covering an awful lot. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby is on to talk about the Democratic Party's platform. Also, this problem you're having, a member of your club that you do not want to send to the Boston Convention... because she's unpresentable, would you say?
Physically, she is. If you're going to talk on the floor of the convention, and you're going to convince people to...
By the way, not to interrupt, has your club endorsed anyone?
I'm sorry, Phil?
Has the Western Estates Republican Women's Club endorsed anyone?
We're going with John Kerry. We just think he's great. We did like Howard Dean, but we think John Kerry's great.
All right. So you got a delegate on the convention floor who wants to endorse John Kerry, and the lady is physically...
Yeah, it's very unfortunate. She has one of these lazy eyes, and she also, since an automobile accident that occurred, I think, right after she got out of the Army, she has walked with an aluminum cane, and we are also very proud of her, and we want her to, you know... to be, you know, active in our club. But I send a woman to the Boston Convention. You know, Steve said it best. He said it's like sending the man from Young Frankenstein, the Jewish fellow, right?
Marty Feldman,
with one eye that goes very distinctly to the left, and another eye that drifts wide right. And then on top of that, the crutch. Now you're talking, people cannot possibly concentrate when they're talking to someone like that. And it's real.
You know, I want to ask you, as a Democrat, especially as a Democrat, a party that is known for alleged sympathy for the underprivileged, the underclass, whether they be handicapped, whether they be people of color, isn't that a little kind of hypocritical for you to...
No.
To you to take that stand?
No, and I'll tell you why, Phil. We need, as my husband likes to say, we need every swing in you-know-what where they're needed most. We put the people who are good... For instance, Gail is wonderful at working the phones. I love for her to work our phones. On election day, she's going to be working the phones. We're going to be getting the vote out for how on the phone. Who can do that? Gail is great.
Is that because you can't see her lazy eye and her limp?
No, that is not it at all. It's because she is a great communicator. But if
she's a great communicator, why not send her to the convention?
You know something, Phil? I was elected president of the Western States Democratic Party Women's Club. I'm sorry that you don't agree with my decisions, but my decision is going to be final. I understand how you feel.
Well, I will tell you this, Ms. Dooley. I found out that the women in your club voted almost unanimously to send this Gail, and forgive me, Gail, because I know you're listening. I spoke with her this afternoon. Gail, is it Roswell?
Roswell.
Okay, Gail Roswell. They are supporting her.
Well, you know what? Yes, they are, and still, and I appreciate their input, my decision is final. This is one of the most important years in history for Democrats. We can't take any chances sending a woman with an eye, you know, that... Steve, what was the joke you made?
You don't know which eye to look at when you're talking to her.
My husband made a joke. He said, you don't know which eye to look at when you're talking to her, which I thought was funny. Now, imagine walking up to someone with an eye that drifts left and then quivers right for a moment and then drifts out back left, and she's on a metal crutch.
I would say, as I have said, I work in business, Ms. Dooley, with handicapped people. I'm in the broadcast business with people who are on metal crutches.
What business are you in?
What business are you in?
I'm in the radio business.
Bingo.
See? Do you see any of them on TV hosting TV shows? No, you don't.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley, president of the Western Estate Democratic Party Women's Club, is on the phone, along with Janet. Hello, Janet. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, Ms. Dooley. If the Democratic Party considers itself to be the champion of the people, then I would think that it should be the champion of all people, regardless of how they look. If this woman is a great communicator and you believe she's a great representative of your club,
mm-hmm.
then why is it you want to keep her where no one can see her? I'm absolutely appalled by your point of view.
No, can I explain? We value Gail immensely. She has been like just my, she's been my right hand. She's been everything. She is best needed on the phones where she won't scare people. Where she can...
What do you mean, scare people?
Janet, you know what I mean, right?
No, I'm sorry, I don't. I was born with a cleft lip, and I have a daughter with a cleft lip. And I can tell you that many people might have been scared by one of us. And I find your comments extremely offensive.
Well, now, wait a minute. Even you can recognize that I can't send you to a convention with a lip. Is it like that? Do you do that? You sound normal.
Well, yes, I've had surgery and everything. But the point is that why are you discriminating against someone because they don't meet the current standard of what beauty is? Just like you would discriminate against someone. Would you discriminate against someone who's poor because they aren't dressed in fashion? I don't understand why you can.
Well, you're not going to send them out.
Well, hold
on for a minute.
Down another.
You just put your foot in it. You just stepped in it. No, I wouldn't. I'm not going to send someone badly dressed into a business meeting. Are you?
No, but you
okay.
could see to
Are you punishing them?
Properly.
Are you punishing them?
Well, that,
no,
no, but
this is not something that you
see,
can...
you're punishing them because they're poor.
No, but
according
at the
same to you.
Time, this is of no fault of
we
her own. It is not
to
even
stop.
Correctable.
We need to stop the warmonger George Bush. I don't know why you're... Are you a Democrat?
No, I'm not, but I... You're,
well...
You're, your comments have more to do with acceptance of people and discrimination
uh-huh.
against people based on
mm-hmm.
something that's as shallow as appearance.
I just want to make sure we register enough voters and we get enough people voting for...
You said you endorsed John Kerry.
For John Kerry. And the only way we can do that is not to frighten them with someone who's stumbling about with a, you know, with a cane. I'm sorry, I just...
Frighten them? You know,
no, a huge, a vast majority of this country are the elderly, are they frightening?
My husband wanted to know, is a cleft lip the same as a hair lip?
All right, now listen
yes,
to me.
Yes, it is.
Listen to me.
Yes.
I don't want to hear any more of this ignorance, all right? We're trying to...
What ignorance, Mr. Hendry? I just want to know, is she a hair lip?
Yes, that's a pejorative term for it, yes.
Oh, you are?
She said it is a pejorative, okay? That is a negative.
All right.
You know, I will say one thing. I support George Bush, and listening to you right now gives me a great deal of hope. Because if all the Democratic Party is
murdering
you, then there's no problem with him winning again.
He's murdering people in Iraq.
Can I ask a favor of the lady?
Yes.
What?
Could you do some of the alphabet?
All right, don't do it, Janet.
We just want to hear her say A, B, C, D. Can she do that?
No.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Keep going.
H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z.
She says I'm good.
You say I'm good. We're here left.
If you say that word one more time, I'm hanging up.
Well, you know what? I think
right,
I'm hanging up because I find you
offensive. You know what? No, Janet, you know what? Stacy Keach had a lip like that, and he's a great actor, and he reads good.
All right.
You know, you are so condescending. It's absolutely
no. I'm trying to get. Why would I do that when I'm trying to get you to vote for Howard, for John Kerry? Why?
Well,
that doesn't make any sense.
Your methodology leaves a lot to be desired.
Boy,
let
no
me
kidding.
Tell you.
No, Janet, thank you so much for your comment, and have a very good evening.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. I would caution the Dooleys, if you wouldn't mind, Janet, to keep their comments concerning this political race out of the pejorative area. I think the lady used the word very, very well. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Should a woman who walks with a crutch and who has a wandering or lazy eye, should she be allowed to be a delegate at the Democratic National Convention? The president of a local Democratic women's club does not want her to be there. She wants a more representative woman. She wants herself to go. She's also said that the woman walks with a crutch, even though she is a war veteran. Now, she made a point, would you send somebody who's dressed bad into a business meeting? Janet said, no, I wouldn't, but I'd make sure they're dressed well. Why can't you send somebody as a delegate to the convention, even though they walk with a metal crutch, and have a wandering eye? The lady is a veteran of the U.S. Army. She has a son in the Air Force Academy, the Air Force Academy. But Ms. Dooley doesn't want her to go, even though the club does. She's made the final decision. She's going. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio's worst nightmare.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
I want you to tell my audience what you just told me. Bobby Dooley from the Democratic Party Women's Club of Western Estates.
I'm sorry?
Tell the audience what you just said.
So what I'm saying is this. The Howard Dean scream that you have been playing continuously on your show and other comedians have is offensive to Democrats, and we are requesting now that you stop. It is...
We're satirizing. The man made his bed. He's got to sleep in it.
It is offensive to me as a Democrat. And this kind of bigotry and prejudice is...
Bigotry? I'm commenting on the man...
Can I finish? This kind of bigotry and prejudice against a presidential candidate that we're endorsing. And when I say bigotry, Phil, understand, I don't mean it in terms of the color of his skin. I mean it in terms of the fact that he's an excitable man and you are making sport of him. And so I don't want you to... We are requesting that you not do it anymore.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Ms. Dooley?
Yes. You know something? You're really childish.
All right, let me go to a phone call here. Rose. Go ahead, Rose.
Hi, yes. I called in to... I have a comment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're endorsing who again?
I'm sorry? Say that again.
Who was it that you were endorsing?
The Democratic, of Western States Democratic Women's Plus?
Yes. And you want us to vote for who?
It's, I forgot.
John Dean.
You forgot?
I don't know. We began the endorsement process last night.
Okay, so you're trying to get everyone to vote for John Dean.
John Dean was the guy that ratted out President Nixon. Do you mean Howard Dean?
Howard Dean, yeah.
But you said John Kerry 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, you said Kerry.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did. Yeah, you did.
You kept saying Kerry. Here's my point.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of who you're endorsing,
mm-hmm.
if that person knew that you were endorsing that person,
mm-hmm.
and they knew what soapbox you were standing on, and they endorsed it, well, then you know what? I would never, never vote for that person, because if they had the same beliefs that you had, my dear, then God knows what would happen to the rest of the people in this beautiful country with the disabilities that bring us so much joy and hope.
Do you want to have someone representing you who has one shoe with a bigger heel than the other one?
You know what?
I
would be grateful. I would love to see more people with disabilities out there.
I serve my country
And you know what? The people who have been blessed with these kind of people
Hang on for a minute. Okay, we're going to go to a break, but I want you to hang on. You too, Bobby. 1-800-449-8686 is a woman in the Democratic Club with a walleye, and she doesn't want her going to Washington. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Jack Ball. It's entertaining. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby Dooley with me here from the Democratic Women's Club of Western Estates. It's a club of women who are Democrats.
Well, in a manner of speaking, Phil, we are a group of women, yes, who support the policies of the Democratic Party, and we're working to get John Dean elected president, and also to point out to people that George Bush, I mean, could it be any worse? Could things be any worse in our country? I don't think so. Everything is horrible. And we just need to make it better. We just really do. And we're going to do that by getting rid of George Bush, because he's just, it's been a disaster.
Well, let me ask you just one question. What would you like to have been seen after 9/11? What did you want to have happen? Should we have not attacked? Were you against the war with Iraq?
Oh, yes.
Why? Why were you against the war with Iraq?
Because they never found any weapons of destruction. And also, the Iraqi people, you know, did you see the pictures of the people that were, did you see the babies that were killed?
And, all right, they never found any weapons of mass destruction. What about Hussein getting kicked out of there?
Yeah, are you a Republican?
No, I'm not. I'm a Democrat.
Well, I don't understand. I'm just saying that we don't want, you know, George Bush, that's the whole, right there.
All right. You just don't like him, huh?
No, it's terrible what's happened.
Okay, here's Amy. Go ahead, Amy.
Hi. I'd like to just say that I find your approach to sending this woman as your delegate to be completely despicable. We have laws in this country that we've worked hard for to prevent discrimination against individuals who are handicapped.
Well, I'm not discriminating, though.
Yes, you are. I personally am handicapped and have to walk with a cane because of a muscular disease.
Do you have one shoe with a thicker sole?
That's irrelevant.
What difference does it make?
That is a physical handicap, and you are illegally discriminating against that individual.
Well, no, it's not a paid position, see, so that's no. You're
it's
wrong.
It's irrelevant. Those laws are...
Are you blind? Do you have good eyes, or what happened?
The lady said she has a muscular disease.
Okay,
the point is, you're discriminating against someone for no just cause. You don't have it, and I would advise any woman in your organization to run.
We are the Democratic Women's Club of Western States. We're going to get Howard...
I don't care who you're promoting.
Howard
what
elected,
I care about is the fact that you are abusing your power.
No, I'm not.
I said to this lady that the Democratic Party has worked for the passage of the People with a Disabilities Act.
Right.
And I'm very proud of that, Phil. And that's why we want Gail to work the phones. She does it brilliantly. We're just afraid she might scare someone.
What that is so disgusting. I don't even have the proper words to respond that she will scare someone.
Can I tell you something, Amy? By the way, no. One of her eyes goes off. It just shoots off. It's like she's looking at the sun and she's staring at you.
So.
Oh my God. I walk through the pain.
I have tremors. My hands and arms shake all of the time.
Can I play something for you, Amy? I asked your engineer, Mark Newman, if he'd play this song, because this is one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard. And this is so a part of what Amy and I are talking about. Well,
look, I don't have time to play any songs right now, okay?
I got a caller on the line.
So I'm is this the song?
Yes, go ahead. Okay, listen. I only have one good eye for you. All right, now why did I say that? Because if people like you had your way, Amy, songs about beautiful eyes, I only have an eye for you. You see
oh
what I'm saying?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
What kind of stupidity?
You are truly a frightening woman.
What kind of stupidity is that?
You have set the ADA and equality for everyone in this country about 3,000 years.
You know something, Amy? Even though you said hurtful things to me, I want to send you off with a good thought. There's an organization called the Jerry Lewis. Have you gotten any money from him? Because you should call him. He does...
Wait. Jerry Lewis Telethon?
Yes.
What does he have to do with this?
Because of what you said you can't butter your toast because your hands don't...
No, I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
I beg your pardon.
You said it was difficult to pour cream in your coffee because you're usually dumping it in your husband's lap or something. I don't know.
She never said any such thing.
Hallucinating on
top of everything.
Yeah,
she didn't say that she has trouble buttering her freaking toast.
I never said anything of the kind.
Well, I want you to know that I'm, you know, I just...
I thought I heard her say it, too.
Mr. Dooley, Amy, I want to thank you for your call.
Okay.
And
how long does it take you to churn butter?
Well, I've never churned butter. Have you?
Do you have tremors?
Yes, I do.
Well, imagine what you could do. This is what I'm saying. Every person to a job that he can do.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that because this lady has tremors, she'd be one hell of a butter churner?
Yes. Yes, I am.
It's nuts.
I think.
How do you know if we're having an earthquake?
I think someone should strap you to a wheelchair for about 3 weeks.
Very good.
And tape your mouth so that it's distorted, and let you try to survive in the world and see how you like it.
Do you know it's an earthquake, or how do you know we're having an earthquake?
Have you heard anything this woman said? What do you mean, how does she know we're having an earthquake?
If she's shaking all the time.
You know, Jerry Lewis shakes too, so that's nothing to be ashamed of.
I'm not Elvis Presley.
Except he doesn't look like an elephant man anymore.
I have tremors
in
my hands and my arms.
Okay, Amy, thank you. You've had a very nice collection of thoughts for our show. And
Amy, just remember, we're out here in the Democratic Party working for you.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
No, you've made it quite clear that you're not.
No, obviously Mr. Hendry has biased everything that I've said.
Just remember, you'll never walk alone.
No, I'm...
Actually, you know what? Here's a joke. You'll never limp alone.
I'm educated enough, and well-educated, mind you, that I can make my decisions on my own.
All right, Amy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. There is a level of insensitivity that you have, Ms. Dooley.
No, Mr. Hendry, there is a level of misunderstanding that you have. You don't understand.
What do you mean you'll never limp alone?
It was a takeoff on the song You'll Never Walk Alone.
I know the song You'll Never Walk Alone. I know that song.
The Democratic Party is here for, I forget her name.
Amy.
For Amy. Excuse me. I'm sorry, Phil. I had a really bad salmon dish for lunch. We had our first monthly meeting over at the one of the hotels here in Western Estates near Agoura, and I had a lousy chicken breast. It was lousy.
I think it was bad.
I think it was bad, too. But what I wanted to say, well, now I forgot what I wanted to say.
All right, well, let me just go to another call here. Hyatt, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show, Hyatt.
Yes, thank you. Julie, I think...
My name is Bobby.
Julie?
Bobby Dooley.
The worst thing that could have happened to the Democratic Party was for you to get on national radio. And whatever they have accomplished so far,
you
have just destroyed.
No, I have not. And that is
yes,
very hurtful.
Yes, you have.
That's offensive.
Madam, yes, you have.
You
are sick.
How am I sick?
You are sick. And keep on talking, because the more you talk, the more damage you are doing. And there are many, many people out there listening. And I do hope
that everyone has heard every word that you have said. Going to get John Dean elected president of the
United States.
All right, Hyatt, this is Phil. Let Bobby jump in here.
Well, I just have one question. I want to know if this woman is deaf because she won't listen to me.
You're absolutely correct. I've listened to every word you've said.
Well, what is this, GIMP call-in hour where you have cripples calling in?
Oh, my God.
I beg your pardon?
Well, if you're deaf, I asked Mr. Henry if this was an hour for, you know, the deaf
Julie?
And dumb. My
Julie?
Name is Bobby.
Julie?
Well, okay, what do you want,
talking,
George?
Because
what do you want,
you
George?
Have some very serious mental problems.
What is your name, Hyatt? So your parents, is that what
my
you...
My name is Hyatt.
Were you conceived there? Is that why they named you that? What's your husband's name, Union 76?
Julie, I want to remind you, there have been many Americans that are shedding and have shed blood so that people like you can get out and talk.
What's your last name, Regency?
My last name, you want my name?
Yes,
I'll give
I would.
You my
Hyatt
name.
Hyatt Regency.
I will give you my name.
Go ahead.
Marlena.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Hyatt,
Hyatt don't
Cushing.
Do it. Don't do it, Hyatt. You're only going to get... You don't want...
Thank you, Hyatt. You had the correct... My name's Bobby
Julie.
Julie,
I want to
oh
tell
my gosh,
you something.
She is deaf.
If you are representing Dr. Dean, you have already helped him to lose.
No, you're
now
wrong.
Now you keep on talking,
you're wrong.
Julie.
The Democratic Party represents
you keep on talking,
money
Julie.
For all kinds of people.
You better believe it.
And the poor people are going to get more money. That's
you
what we have to do.
You better believe it. And wherever they found you,
hey,
and whoever
name,
allowed you
oh,
to
funny.
Speak on national radio made the biggest mistake they could have made.
What we're trying to say here, Bobby, if I could just jump in, is that in your attempt to communicate a message, you've already called, you've called this lady Hyatt Regency. I guess you think that's funny. It's being...
Well, my husband said Hyatt Watha, which I thought was even better. But I'm not even going to go there with you, Hyatt. What I am going to say is this. As women, we shouldn't fight. We should stick together to defeat George Bush and to get the Democrats into the White House, and then everything's messed up now. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I have been listening to what you've had to say about okay. disabled people.
There you go.
I think it's the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
What? All I said
and
was...
As far as I'm concerned, Julie, you are sick. Very,
well,
very sick.
Hey, Julie, get me some coffee, will you?
In a minute. Now, Hyatt, I think that what I need to do is to tell Gail, all right, she can come to Boston with me. Do you
know,
have a problem
like
with this?
I would like to invite you to come here to Syracuse, New York.
Do you have a problem with
I
this?
I would like to have a debate with you
well, that's
in
what
front
we're doing
of
right
the public.
Now. That's what we're doing right now. We're debating.
You're
not
absolutely
really. It's,
correct.
It's
we
not,
are debating.
It's not really a
but
debate,
unfortunately,
though.
Julie,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, what you are doing, you are damaging all of those that believe in what you're representing, the Democratic Party.
Now,
and in the length of time
say.
That you have been on national
I'm
radio...
I'm going to let Gail come to the Democratic Convention with me if
you
she'll wear
done,
a mask.
You have done more damage during this period of time than anyone could have done.
Why do you have an Indian's name and a British accent?
I beg your pardon?
Why do you have an Indian's name and a British
accent? Because I happen to be British.
I know that, but what kind of Indian are you?
Hey, hi.
I happen to be an American citizen, and I'm proud of it. And it just so happens that I have also made sacrifices so that you can speak to me.
Well, I don't want you to feel bad because I had a very dear friend, and her first name was Hilton. Isn't that fun? And
I had a buddy named Radisson.
Julie, I think you should appreciate this man that is allowing you to use his airspace.
You mean Mr. Hendry?
Yes.
Well, I think that...
Hey, Pip, Pip, and Cheerio. Isn't that British?
I beg your pardon?
Isn't Pip, Pip, and Cheerio a British way to talk?
And so is goodbye.
Oh, yeah? We do that, too, here.
We say that in America.
Mm-hmm.
We say goodbye, yeah.
Well, I must say that I do appreciate this country, and I appreciate everything it's given to me.
What are the names of your kids, Sheraton, Marriott, and Motel 6? I'm kidding, darling. I'm just kidding you.
Everything you've been saying,
Julie,
is a big freaking joke.
You know, Julie,
mm-hmm.
you don't come over at all.
Mm-hmm.
And you can accent, and
mm-hmm.
you can put on
mm-hmm.
the accent,
mm-hmm.
and you can come over as madam.
Mm-hmm.
But believe me, you are beyond and beneath your dirt.
I'm getting the feeling
you
that you're
absolute
handicapped.
Dirt, and you are what is called the ugly American in other countries.
No, we are.
And
we represent our country very
that you
well.
Ever go to another country
oh, I have,
to represent
and they love us.
Any American.
We went to France, and they loved us over there.
Oh, God forbid.
I had an affair with a Frenchman before
forbid.
I married Steve.
You are one of those that's pointed out as the ugly American.
And we went to Britain, and they thought we were delightful. And I had, do you remember the little Chinese?
We were in China.
We went to China. No, we didn't go to China. We went to Hong Kong, which they say is not the same thing. But anyway, I want to thank you very much.
Well, I can assure you that
by the way,
I do
I'd like
have
to order one continental
in other
breakfast.
Countries to the
right.
media. And
mm-hmm,
I will make it a point
mm-hmm.
that you will be known.
Well,
believe me.
I'd love to go on the BBC and talk all British and stuff. Wouldn't that be fun?
Believe me. And
yeah.
I will make it known just who you are
okay.
and how you talk about disabled people
okay.
on American radio.
Oh, good. Now,
and I will let them know.
Now, how do I get room service? I'm kidding again, Hyatt. I'm sorry.
Look, the lady's name is Hyatt. Quit with the gags.
Hey, did you know Princess Diana? Because I really liked her a lot.
Yeah, you know, I did a Princess Diana act where I had a steering wheel coming out of my chest, and I sang You'll Never Walk Alone. And I thought...
All right, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm through.
Thank you for taking my call. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, you're certainly welcome, Mahaya.
And I appreciate your program.
Well, thank you, and you're very, very kind.
Take care.
I think both of you can go straight down to the underbelly of the world.
What are you doing?
I'm hanging up.
Then hang the freaking phone up!
I'm sorry, I can't find the... No, you know what I just did there, Phil?
What?
I made... I pretended like I had muscular sclerosis, so you can see I'm sensitive.
Yeah, people will do that. Oh, sorry, I've got multiple dystrophy.
If you ever book those two on my show again, you're both fired. That is unbelievable that would happen. I got to take a break. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Absolutely despicable, Ms. Dooley. Bobby Dooley. And the other thing...
So, let me illustrate what I'm talking about. I said we couldn't send Gail to Washington because of certain physical handicaps.
I just think that...
Please, would you just indulge me?
What?
Stick out your tongue and hold onto it with your fingers and say, vote for Howard Dean.
Stick out my tongue?
Please, Phil.
Vote for Howard Dean.
That's exactly what she'd sound like at the convention if we sent her. And I can't have that.
Really? She's got a wandering eye and she walks with a limp. Why is all of a sudden she talking like that?
It's all the same.
Those people are all the same. You know, the limp, they suddenly want to be cute.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-86.